Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, God bless you. This is Evangelist Amos coming to you live from Manna Teacher Ministry. Praise the Lord. I thank God for you listening in tonight. I just want to give God glory and praise for everything that he's doing in my life. And I praise him for the people that have contacted me to let me know that you are listening. I thank God for you. You don't know how much you encourage me by contacting me and letting me know that this ministry is being a blessing to you. Amen. So I want to get right into the meat of the word. Praise God. Just keep the Lord in my heart. Sometimes I feel like you don't have to pray at the beginning of the message, but it's just everybody does it. So I'm going to go ahead and do it too. But I just want to say, when you walk with the Lord daily and you have a relationship with God, you're always praying. That's why the Bible says always pray without ceasing, because you have to keep a prayerful spirit. I mean, we used to pray that prayer a long time ago. We used to sing that song, Lord, give me a praying spirit. Amen. You have to have a praying spirit. Amen. But that's not what I'm preaching about tonight, but I just want to ask the Lord to bless the message. I bind up the hindrances that would come, and I cast out everything that's not from heaven. Amen. That's not from my Father. I bind it up in Jesus' name. I give you the glory and I give you the praise, God, for what you're doing in this ministry. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Okay, saints, we're going to start, and we stopped last time in Galatians chapter 6, and we're talking about faith tonight. And God has just really been dealing with me about faith, and he's been dealing with me about the invisible world, you know. And I'm writing a book. I've already started writing a book entitled The Invisible World, because we serve an invisible God, you know. In Hebrews, the Bible says that God is a spirit, you know, and the Bible says that God is invisible. The Bible says Abraham endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. When Paul was going through Mars, through that city Mars, where they were worshiping all types of gods in the book of Acts, I think it was after the 7th or the 8th chapter, I can't remember, but it's in the book of Acts where Paul was in Mars, and they were worshiping all types of false gods, and they had an inscription on I guess you would call it an altar. And it said, to the unknown God. And Paul said, this is who you worship ignorantly. Amen. He said that he began to preach about the God that they were worshiping ignorantly. So I just want you to know, amen, that God is the creator of the heaven and the earth. He is invisible, and that means he has all power, amen. The reason why he can have all power, because he is invisible, amen. He made us in his image, and we have to breathe oxygen. The Bible says he breathed into Adam's nostrils, and man became a living soul. So God breathed into Adam, and the breath of God is the breath of life. When God breathed into Adam, he gave him eternal life at that point. He gave him Adam was supposed to live eternally. We were created to live eternally in the heavens with God. I mean, paradise. Wherever God is, because God used to come and talk to Adam in the cool of the day. So Adam was in a paradise, in a garden, amen, somewhere on this planet on earth. And God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. God put everything into Adam that he would need to start this race called the human race, amen. Adam's mind was so powerful that he named all the animals. I used to think God named all the animals because of the high amount of intelligence that it would take to name the animal kingdom, and the names go along with the animal. Amen. It's like, wow, you know, when you look at the names of the animals in the animal kingdom, it blows your mind. No human being nowadays could ever attempt to do what Adam did before the fall. And, you know, I saw a movie not too long ago about this woman whose brain was just gone, you know, and she was just using the full capacity of her brain, you know, because scientists say we only use like 10% of our brain. And when I was watching this movie, I thought about how we only use 10% of our brain, so we lost 90% of our brain power in the fall through sin. Amen. And if you think about that, that's a phenomenal thought, you know. And this whole movie was about what if we could use 100% of our brain. And that's what the whole movie was about. But don't you know when you get saved and when you inherit eternal life and the Holy Spirit lives within you, he gives you gifts that enable you to use the part of your brain that has been dormant. That's all gifts is. Gifts and calling of God is without repentance. Excuse me. The gifts and calling of God is without repentance. And when God gives you a gift, all he does is he opens up a small portion of your brain that you can function at the 100% level in that area that you were ordained to function in. That's all that a gift is. It's a gift that allows you to use that part of your brain that was previously cut off. Amen. And it manifests itself as a gift. But, you know, I just thank God for Jesus. I thank God for restoration. Hallelujah. Because just like he told Adam, in the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, in that same day, Adam, you shall die. He was talking about spiritual death. He was talking about spiritual separation. And the Bible says when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming to be baptized, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world." So Jesus Christ was slain before the worlds were formed. God knew that Adam was going to sin even before he created Adam. Hallelujah. I felt that. God knew that Adam was going to sin long before he even created Adam. Hallelujah. But you know, he loved us so much that he still took a chance on us. Amen. And God knows those that are his. I was reading the other day about a sheep. When you hear your master's voice, you will not follow a stranger. Amen. That's what Jesus was talking about in the book of John. He said a sheep knows the voice of his shepherd. He said, but a hireling or a person that's doing it just for the money, and that's what a hireling is, a person that's in it just for the money or what they can get out of it, they are not going to lay their life down for the sheep. Hallelujah. But you know, a true shepherd of God that's not in it for what he can get out of it, but in it because he loves the Lord and he loves God's people. That's why Jesus told Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes." He said it, and the third time, the Bible says, Peter got a little bit agitated. He was like, "Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus told him, he said, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs, feed my sheep." Amen. If you love me, you will feed my sheep. So a true shepherd, amen, is going to feed the sheep of God. And there's many scriptures that talk about take heed over how you take care of the people of God, the sheep of God. You're not supposed to lord it over God's people. You're not supposed to be unfair, amen, and how you deal with God's people. You're supposed to show mercy, and that's what we're talking about here in Galatians, which takes me right into my verse in Galatians chapter 6. The Bible says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault," and we're in verse 1, "ye which are spiritual," we're talking about spiritual people tonight, and we ended on this the other night, but I really wanted to get back into this message. The Bible says, "Ye that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted." So the Bible says that we are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. The Bible says that the enemy should not gain an advantage over us. Amen. But the Bible says, if you see a man overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. So we have to do it in the right spirit. A lot of people correct people, and sometimes you're right. You know, they were wrong in what they did. They were wrong in sometimes how they did it. But you have to come to them in a spirit of meekness. Amen. The Bible says, considering yourself, because but for the grace of God, and I say this all the time, but for the grace of God, there go I. When I see somebody on the street that has less than what I have, I say, but for the grace of God, that could have been me. Hallelujah. But for the grace of God, when I see a woman out there selling her body, amen, I've never had to do that, but I say, but for the grace of God, circumstances and situations could have came in my life that could have I could have been out there on the street. Amen. So I thank God that he allowed me, amen, that he's teaching me how to walk humbly with him, because the Bible says, what does the Lord require but to walk humbly with him? There's not much that God asks us for, saints, but what he does ask us for is obedience. And he said, obedience is better than sacrifice. People don't preach that no more. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And also he said that he only requires that we walk that's worthy of him, but that we do it humbly, that we do it in meekness. Amen. The Bible says, considering yourselves, lest thou also be tempted. Verse 2. Now verse 2 says, bear ye one another burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. This is called getting under the burden. I talked a couple of weeks ago about how when you join a church, you need to feel the burden of the pastor. You need to feel the burden of the ministry. You need to, if you feel the burden of the ministry, you will lift it off of the man of God or the woman of God's shoulders, and you will begin to help them carry the load of the ministry. It will not be a burden for you to give, because you want to give. You want to be a blessing. You want to lighten the load. Giving would be just something that's necessity. Amen. It's not something that they don't have to beg. They don't have to ask. They don't have to, you know, cry and get high blood pressure, which they're not supposed to do anyway. Or cast your cares on me, the Bible says, for I care for you. Lay all of your cares at the foot of the cross. Amen. But the Bible says that we are to bear one another burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And we know that the spirit of deception is great in the earth right now. The Bible says, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, we came from dirt. Hallelujah. We came from dirt, the same dirt that you walk on every day, the same dirt that has no value, the same dirt that you people, that is free, excuse me, that's free out there on the ground right now. The only dirt you pay for is the dirt that's been processed, that's been fertilized to help you grow plants. But you can go out to anywhere just about and get some dirt free. People give away dirt all the time. It has no worth, no value. That's what we came from. We came from, God took some dirt. This blows my mind when I think about how we dress up this flesh, how we spend millions of dollars trying to look beautiful, trying to look beautiful, making sure we have everything together, getting our nails done, women, getting our feet done, going on vacations, pampering ourselves, going to the spa, and all of this is, we should do it, amen. But at the same time, I have to remember that we came from dirt. We're just dressed up dirt. We're just dirt that's been anointed by God. Hallelujah. And, you know, that's why we have to be so careful to give him the praise, because but for the grace of God, amen. I just can't get that and say that enough tonight. But the Bible says, for if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. That's in Galatians 6 and 5. Amen. So just going into my notes, I want to see how far down we have to go before we go to another verse. In Galatians 6 and 1, my notes say, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest thou also be tempted. And the Lord told me to also add, here we see spiritual people are meek, and help restore the body of Christ. This is what we ended on last week. Spiritual people are prophetic and acknowledge the word of commands of the Lord. The word is the commands of the Lord. And spiritual people judge all things, yet live a life above reproach, so as not to be judged by anyone. These are the type of people that can have faith to move mountains, that can believe God against all odds when everything else says no in your circumstances. Okay, let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21. I wanted to read Luke chapter 5, so I think I'm going to turn over there as well, but we're going to go to Matthew chapter 21 first. Okay, in Matthew chapter 21, we're going to start in verse 20, and we'll come back to Luke chapter 5 in a minute. But the Bible says in Matthew 21 and 20 about the fig tree, when the disciples saw the fig tree, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Now, I want to go back up a little bit more because we need to do some background in case someone out there never heard about the fig tree that Jesus cursed. Let's start up in verse 12. Now, Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. That's what the devil is doing right now. Instead of having a house of prayer, we're having a den of thieves. Amen. But God has a people that have not bowed to the knee of Baal. Amen. Because he told Elijah, when Elijah said, all have are serving Baal, all have forsaken, you know, none is serving you but me. And God told him, I have reserved to myself, hallelujah, 6,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. Praise God. But the Bible says, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for God to send healing through my hands, through my ministry, because I can't speak for nobody else. But I'm looking for God, excuse me, to send the blind and to send the lame, that he would use me before I leave this earth to bring healing to his people in the natural. That's why I preach on faith so much. And the Bible says, and the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. Now, when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. That was the chief priest. And said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou perfected praise. And he left them and went out of the city into Bethany, and he lodged there or stayed there. Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he was hungry. Verse 19, and when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. Amen. And then he said, and presently the fig tree withered away. Now, Jesus came to this fig tree expecting to find fruit. And the Bible says he could not find fruit. He only found leaves. Now, I don't know if you noticed, but when you see leaves on a fig tree, usually the figs are there. But this time there were no figs. They were just leaves. So this tree was a tree of deception. It was there to deceive people into thinking that there were figs. And then when you get up to it, there were no figs. So Jesus is still teaching on deception here. And he said, let no, he cursed it. Amen. So all of you that's out there practicing deception, you're going to be under a curse. Amen. The Bible said, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. Verse 20, and this is the powerful verse I'm talking about, getting on down to it now. When the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? God is teaching me every time in the Bible when the disciples or anybody marveled at faith, it's because their faith was lacking. Amen. Now, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Because they were surprised that the fig tree had obeyed the word of the Lord. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if you have faith and doubt not, you shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Faith that can move mountains. Amen. This is the type of faith that we're seeking for. Praise God. This is the type of faith that we need to have in the body of Christ. This is the kind of faith that's going to be manifested in the church before Jesus comes back. Amen. The Bible says, if you have faith and doubt not. So we have to get rid of all doubt and unbelief. Amen. That's why the man, when he told Jesus, he said, Lord, help my, I believe, but help thou my unbelief about his daughter being raised from the dead. The Bible says, ye shall not do this only which is done to the fig tree, but if you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. So this is mountain-moving faith. In all things, this is another result of faith. The Bible says, in all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. That word believing is another word for faith. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, believing. All things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So when you pray, if you don't receive something, it's in the will of God, and it's going to be a blessing. Because the Bible says the blessings of the Lord make it rich and add of no sorrow. Amen. So if it's going to be a blessing and it's in the will of God, and it's not going to do you any harm, amen, then, and you don't receive it, it's because your faith is lacking. You must have doubts. You must have some area of unbelief, amen, and you don't have 100% faith. Faith is not going to work if you have 1% doubt. I just want to say that. If you have 1% doubt and 99% faith, is not real faith. Faith is believing wholeheartedly and not looking at the circumstances, but looking at God. Amen. Looking at the God that we serve, keeping your eyes focused on him. Remember when Peter walked on the water, Jesus said, why did you look? The Bible says as long as Peter walked, looked at Jesus, kept his eyes on Jesus, and he was not looking at the storms, he was not looking at the winds, he was not looking at the waves, Peter was able to walk on water. But as soon as he looked at the waves and at the wind and at the circumstances of life, as soon as he looked at what was going on around him and got his focus off of Jesus, he began to sink. It's the same way. This is a spiritual precept, a spiritual concept in the Word of God. Jesus asked him, he said, why did you doubt? Amen. He said, why did you doubt? Peter looking at the circumstances caused him to doubt. You cannot look at your circumstances. You have to look at Jesus. You have to keep your eyes focused on him, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. And the Bible says, all things, we're still in Matthew chapter 21, and all things in verse 22, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And when he was coming to the temple, the priest, the chief priest and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said, I also will ask you one thing. See, Jesus was not subject to man. Amen. For the Bible said he knew what was in man. But he did answer their question with a question. He said, I also will ask you one thing. This is the wisdom of God speaking out of the mouth of Jesus. He said, I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. Jesus was being questioned about his authority. Of course, he was God. He do not have to answer to man. So he did not answer them, but he put forth a question to them. He said, if you can answer this question, then I'll tell you by what authority I do these things. He said, the baptism of John, where was it from, or whence was it from? Was it from heaven, or was it of men? Hallelujah. Do you see the correlation here? Jesus only dealt in two realms. He either dealt in the spiritual realm. He said, was it from heaven or was it of men, which is the earthly realm? Now look at the wisdom of God. The Bible says, and they reasoned within themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why did ye not believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. Do you see the wisdom of God in this situation? Jesus asked them a question that they could not answer because he wanted to show them that he was not subject. He did not have to answer to them. So he gave them a question that they could not answer. I love that. And they answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. Praise God. God, he was just saying he didn't have to answer to any man. Amen. So that's what we're talking about right there in Matthew 21. All things whatsoever, the key verse is verse 22. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive. So we see here that believing makes all the difference. Believing takes place in the heart. This is something else that God told me. When you believe, this takes place in your heart. Now in Mark 5 and 36, the Bible says, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken to the ruler of the synagogue, he said, be not afraid, only believe. Let's turn over to Mark chapter 5. And that verse is in verse 36, but we're going to start up a little bit higher. Let's Let's start in verse 21. This talks about the rich ruler, Jairus by name. The Bible says, when Jesus would pass over again by ship, verse 21, unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. So Jairus fell at the feet of Jesus. Amen. But he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, amen, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live. This is the day that I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on a day when God uses us so much as his body and the body of Christ that people can come and ask us the same thing that this man asked Jesus. Come and lay your hands on her that she can be healed because of the miracles that he has seen Jesus do. Amen. But on his way, now this is what happened. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thorned him or pressed upon him. Amen. Verse 25, and a certain woman was had an issue of blood 12 years. That means she was bleeding for 12 long years. And you women, you know, just like I do, when you bleed for 12 years, that brings on a host of other problems because you become anemic, your iron is low. It just brings on a whole lot of problems. But it seemed like this woman had some female issues. And the Bible says she had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing better but rather grew worse. Now, this woman had to be at a point of frustration because she had to have money, number one, because you couldn't go to a doctor unless you had money. Everybody was healing themselves back then or using some type of self-medication because it was really expensive to go to the doctor, as it is becoming now more expensive to go to the doctor. But the Bible says she had went to the doctor for these whole 12 years, so she had to be a woman of means, and she had suffered many things of many physicians. So she didn't just go to one doctor. She went to more than one. They said many physicians and had spent all that she had. So she had got broke, amen, trying to get her healing. She had gave everything. She had got broke. The Bible says she spent all that she had, and there was nothing better but grew worse. This had to be a very bad situation for her. The Bible says when she heard that Jesus came in the press, when she heard of Jesus, the Bible says she got in the press, the crowd, and she touched his garment. Amen. For she had said, now look at the reason why she touched his garment in verse 28. The Bible says that she had said within herself, and this is what another verse says too, if I may but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. This woman has so much faith in the Son of God, the healing power of Jesus. She said, he don't have to touch me. He don't have to come to my house. He don't even have to pray. Hallelujah. She said, but if I can just touch his clothes. She had faith that if she touched his clothes, that she would be healed. Now, we know there's no anointing in clothes. Amen. But this woman had faith. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. This woman had faith. Because if it was in the clothes, when the soldiers took his robe off, the Bible says that the soldiers took the robe off of Jesus, and they cast lots for it, or they gambled for it because they didn't want to cut it because it was woven of one material. So they didn't have any seams. That's what the Bible says. So they didn't want to destroy the material by cutting it into three parts. But it was a very expensive piece of material. So what they did was they cast lots, or they gambled for it, or they threw dice for it. Now, if the anointing had been in Jesus' clothes, don't you know those soldiers would have known that when they picked up his robe? Amen. When they carried him, the man that carried Jesus to the cross, he picked him up. He didn't say there was nothing about no anointing in his clothes. But the woman, hallelujah, that had spent all her living and had grew not better but worse, had faith that if she touched the garment of Jesus, that she would be healed. Amen. My time is up. But the Bible says straightway, as soon as she touched him in verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. So something took place when her faith met with the object of her faith. So you can have faith, but you have an object that you, if you touch, if you get to that point in the spirit, if you get to that point in the spirit where your faith meets the object of your faith, then that's when you begin to have power, amen, in the spirit. Hallelujah. But I didn't get finished, but I have to stop because our time is up. I'm only doing 30 minutes tonight, but I'm planning to go back to at least 45 minutes to an hour within the next week. I've been having requests for longer broadcasts, so I'm going to go back to the 45-minute or an hour broadcast time. It'll probably be starting not this Sunday, but next Sunday. So pray much for me. God bless you, and I love you. This is Evangelist Amos signing off the air with Manna Teacher Ministry. Good night.